I want you to pretend that you were living back in the days of the early Christian church in Ephesus, Corinth, or Philippi, or maybe Galatia, Colossae, or Thessalonica. At some point, your church would have received a visit from Paul and maybe gotten one or more letters from him. You're listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. This is episode 236. Today's topic is a question: what would Paul say to your church? You're listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. I'm James Early, your host, and this is the place to be to rediscover the original Christianity of Jesus. Each week, we talk about how Jesus wanted us to think and act and pray and live our daily lives. And we dig down into the mindset of Jesus to discover how we can think and act like he did. The goal is to experience more of Jesus' promise that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey there, and welcome again to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. I'm so grateful you're here listening today. And I want to give a special welcome to all my new listeners. And I'm just so grateful to have you as a listener, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. I'm going to take you on a little imaginary journey today. I want you to pretend that you were living back in the days of the early Christian church in Ephesus, Corinth, or Philippi, or maybe Galatia, Colossae, or Thessalonica. At some point, your church would have received a visit from Paul and maybe gotten one or more letters from him. Now, more than likely, you would have heard the story of Paul's conversion to Christianity. There may not have been Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, but they had the original social media word of mouth. News got around, and Paul got around. Paul visited so many places, preaching the gospel of Christ to anyone and everyone who would listen, and he was dedicated to nurturing the growing Christian churches that sprung up because of his preaching. So, let's say you were in Thessalonica and had recently become a Christian because of Paul's preaching. But then at some point he left to go preach in other cities. Well, one day, many months later, someone, it may have been Timothy, delivers a letter from Paul to your church. You're so excited. Everyone is overjoyed. It's like getting a letter from your best friend. Well, that's pretty much what it is. You all get together and listen as someone reads the letter out loud. Hearing Paul's words, it's almost as if he's right there with you, comforting you, encouraging you, and praying for you. Everybody is so inspired and uplifted, and you recommit your lives to following Christ and letting your light shine to bless others. Well, you make some copies of Paul's letter and share it with others, and you even send copies to some of the nearby churches. And then they send you copies of Paul's letters to them. You and your church feel strengthened and encouraged all over again. So let's come back to the 21st century now. In last week's episode, How to Be Filled with the Fullness of God, I talked about the prayer Paul wrote in chapter 3 of his letter to the Ephesians. I'll have that link in the show notes. It was episode 235. Well, in the week since I recorded that episode, I've been thinking a lot about that prayer and some of the other things Paul said to the church in Ephesus. He begins his letter by greeting the Ephesians with a blessing of grace. This is Ephesians 1, 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty much the way he starts all of his letters to the different churches. Here's how he greeted the church in Galatia. This is Galatians 1:1-5. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And here's the greeting to the church in Philippi. This is Philippians 1:1-2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the pattern here? He's blessing all these churches with grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a pattern he repeats over and over. Paul then goes on in each of his epistles to the various churches to express gratitude, share some deep spiritual truths that are relevant to a particular congregation, and he often includes a prayer. In fact, throughout each of his letters, he expresses hopes and prayers for those reading the letter. And sometimes he rebukes the churches for not following Christ. He does whatever he can to strengthen and encourage these fledgling church communities. Here's a great example of Paul's common sense approach to challenges the churches were facing. In this particular situation, folks at the Corinthian church were arguing about whether it was better to be a follower of Paul or Apollos. This is 1 Corinthians 3:3-9. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, I am a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted seeds in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers. And you are God's field. You are God's building. Paul points everyone back to the fact that they should focus on what God is doing in their midst. We can only assume that the members of the Corinthian church heard this rebuke and responded accordingly. And fortunately, we have this reminder every time we read 1 Corinthians to keep the bigger picture in mind that God is really at work in our churches. Paul also has to deal with the legalism that was cropping up in various churches, especially from Christians who had been Jewish and had been taught that obedience to the Jewish law was a way to holiness and salvation. The church in Galatia was debating whether someone who hadn't been Jewish needed to be circumcised. It was apparently a pretty hot-button issue because circumcision was foundational to the Jews' covenant with God. For a Jewish convert to Christianity to accept an uncircumcised man as a fellow believer was a giant leap, and it wasn't easy. But Paul faces the problem head on and teaches an important Christian precept in the process. This is Galatians 5:1-6. Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you were counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Is there any legalistic issue going on in your church? What would Paul say to you? Now, there are lots of things in Paul's letters that are full of positive reinforcement. I love this from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4, 8, and 9. Paul says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thought on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And listen to the encouragement Paul gives in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Often, Paul ended his letters with a blessing and a prayer. And this is just one example from 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 28. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now, I'm just given a tiny slice of a few of the kinds of things Paul said to the various churches. There's no way to mention everything or every type of encouragement, prayer, expression of gratitude, instruction, or rebuke that he wrote, but you get the idea. Now, in thinking about all these patterns in Paul's letters, all these different things that he included, have you ever wondered what he would say to your church? I had never really thought about it until this last week, and it's got me thinking. Paul was a master of communication. He knew the audience he was talking or writing to, and he tailored his remarks to them specifically. So, let's say you're in a pretty active church, but your membership is small. You have a great pastor, and no one is interested in getting a replacement. You're really grateful for that because you have friends in other churches who argue over whether to replace their pastor with someone else. Everyone pitches in to do their part to serve the church, and some wear many hats. Some of your members are really great at reaching out to the community, but a few are not so comfortable at all sharing their faith. In fact, there's a little bit of a debate about whether you should reach out more to the community or focus on strengthening your own membership spiritually. Your church is doing okay financially, but some months the money is a little tight, and at times you wonder if you'll be able to pay all the expenses going forward. Some members like things the way they used to be, and others are trying to bring some fresh ideas into the way you do things. And the biggest challenge is that there are two members in particular who are very influential, who are so nitpicky about following the letter of your church's bylaws that they leave out the spirit of love in dealing with members and situations. A few folks have even left the church because of this legalistic approach. Now, there may be some of these scenarios you can identify with more than others, and maybe your church is struggling with other issues, but again, just pretend for a minute this is the church you're going to. What would Paul say if he were writing a letter to this church? How would he minister to the members? How would he pray for them? How would he rebuke and teach them? Well, of course, we'll never know. And you could say it's a bit presumptuous to imagine this or to put words in Paul's mouth. But I honestly think it's helpful to take the kinds of things Paul is saying to all the churches in his letters and see how these things apply to us today. So with apologies to Paul, I offer this meager attempt to capture his love for Christ and all believers in an imaginary and brief letter to the church described above. And let's say this church is in Franklin, Tennessee. So here's my brief little letter to the Franklin Church. The Franklinians? I don't know what people in Franklin call themselves. The Franklinites? The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Franklinites. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, appointed by God and not men, to the holy people of God, the faithful followers of Christ, and the Church of God in Franklin. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise and blessing to God our Father, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we may comfort those in trouble and distress. I thank God every day for your faithfulness to Christ and am comforted by the reports I hear of your love for your community. Your light shines brightly so that those who are in darkness may see the glorious light of Jesus Christ in your hearts. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, there have been reports of divisions and debates among you as to how to show your love to your neighbors who have not seen the light of Christ. My fellow followers of the Lord, this grieves my heart to hear such things. This should not be so. Did not our Lord command us to let our lights shine so that others would see the works of God in us and glorify Him? If God has given each of you a candle to light the world, will you not use it to bring light to others? What good will your candle be in your church pew or hidden away on a shelf? God has given many gifts to everyone in your assembly, and each of you has received different gifts, but to all He has given the light of truth to brighten the world and not just your own lives. With all humility and gratitude, I thank you for the gifts of money and necessities you have sent me while on my most recent missionary trip. It came at just the right time and encouraged me beyond measure to know that even while you don't always have all you need, you have shared what you could. May God repay you from the depth of His riches 100-fold. And may God's abundance rain down upon you so that you may continue to bless all those who seek to follow Christ. Let us be bold in the Lord and follow Christ with freshness of heart and spirit. The time has come to put off the old way of thinking about yourselves as nothing more than sinners trapped in the materialism of the age. Imbibe the spirit of renewal in your hearts. Put off the world's ways of thinking and doing and put on Christ's way of life. You are no longer under the laws of the world or of men. Obedience to the letter of the law without the spirit of love brings death and dry rot to your church. God has established you in His law of love. Let the love of God shape and color everything you do and think. Love and love alone is the fulfilling of the law. All your brothers and sisters in Christ who are with me greet you and rejoice to hear of your faithfulness in Christ. Knowing of the struggles you have faced, they are encouraged and strengthened by your steadfastness. Greet each other with a holy kiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, as I said, this is just a hint at what Paul could have said to this imaginary church in Franklin, Tennessee. Of course, his letters were much longer and he went into much more detail, but you get the idea. I encourage you to spend a little time and take an honest look at your church. What would Paul say to you? What would he appreciate and be grateful for? What would he commend you for? What would he feel the need to teach you? How would he rebuke you? How would he pray for you? How would he bless you? And if you're up for a little homework, if you want to call it that, I have a little prayer project to suggest, to invite you to join me in. Take one of Paul's letters to a church. Now, some are very short and some are much longer, so pick one that seems right for you. As you read through this letter, imagine Paul is writing it directly to your church. We have these incredible letters from Paul. They're not written just to a few churches 2,000 years ago. His message is just as relevant today as it was then to every Christian church in the whole world. So you've got your letter. Does what he say resonate with you? How can his ideas apply directly to your church and the struggles you're facing, or the victories you've won? Now, this is not a quick 5-minute prayer project. Take as much time as you need, maybe a day, a week, a month, whatever. But pick one of the letters from Paul to a church and read it to see how the message applies to your church. As you read, pray for you and your church to follow Christ more closely and to let God's love shine brightly in each heart. Hey, thanks so much for listening. If you know somebody that might appreciate this episode, I hope you'll share it with them. I've got a request and a favor to ask. First, I'd love to hear about how you prayed for your church with one of Paul's letters. Did you get any fresh insights on what your church can do to be a light in the world? And secondly, if you have a topic you'd like me to talk about on the Bible Speaks to You podcast, please let me know. Now, I may not be able to do an episode on all the topics people send in, but I'd love to know what would be most helpful to you in your spiritual growth and how to help you think and be more like Christ. The best way to get a hold of me is on my website. Go to thebiblespeakstoyou.com and click on the contact tab in the menu bar. Send me an email and I'll be in touch. I look forward to hearing from you. For a full transcript of today's episode and all the Bible quotes I mentioned, you can go to the show notes page on my website, thebiblespeakstoyou.com/236. This is episode 236. I want to thank you for all your support. I'm so grateful to have you as a listener. Thank you so much for being here. That's it for this week. I'm James Early with the Bible Speaks to You podcast. Have a great week, take care, and we'll see you next time. God bless.